Our next scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 18. This is the same chapter of the same book that we started this sermon series in a couple weeks back, and that is where we'll return today. The Apostle Paul has shifted his focus from relationships within the Christian community to relationships between Christians and the community at large. Let's keep that in mind as we turn to God's word today. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 18. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. May this be God's word for us today. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for all the blessings you have given us, the ones that we're mindful of and the ones that we always take for granted. Open our eyes and our hearts this morning so that we can receive your message for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all ready for Christmas? You think I'm kidding? How many people are day after Thanksgiving Christmas decorators? Any of you? Okay, a few. I kind of expected more. I didn't grow up that way. We didn't grow up decorating after Christmas. We were the family, after Thanksgiving for Christmas, we were the family who got it done just in time, right? Especially once we went off to college, we'd probably wait till like the 22nd before we even got our tree up once everyone was home. But when I married Terry and he was working in Ivy League football, Thanksgiving marked the end of football season. So I was excited. So we celebrated Thanksgiving, and within 24 hours, I was ready for Christmas and no more football. As you know, Terry's at Northwestern, and that is no longer the case of our life. So we're slowly getting into Christmas. But whether your house is in Thanksgiving recovery mode or in full-on Christmas mode, maybe some of us are already a little leery about going back to the table just a month from now. That was the first thing Bert said to me, Christmas, it's a month away. Are you ready? So if you're joining us for the first time, we have been talking for a couple weeks now about what it's like to be at our tables. We've been talking about what it's like to get ready for the table, what it takes to stay at the table, and today we're going to wrap up the series talking about coming back to the table. And if you've been around, you know we're not talking about the Norman Rockwell Pinterest-worthy versions of family, right? We've been talking about what it's really like. When your adult children come home and start acting like middle schoolers, and your middle school kids start acting like toddlers, we know that these big family moments don't always bring out the best in us. For some of you, facing the table might mean going back to a table a month from now and hoping it doesn't go south again. For some of us, coming back to the table might mean remembering that the table is there and meals can happen there, not just around the holidays. You can eat with people all the time. Maybe that's what coming back to the table means for some of us. Some of you have just moved or are in the process of moving. Maybe coming back to the table for you brings up a lot of questions about what being at the table means now. Maybe like me, coming back to the table for you means coming back to a table with one less seat and that empty spot just making it painfully obvious that meals here aren't gonna be the same anymore. Are you with me? Can you imagine a table in your life that is hard to come back to maybe? If that's the case, I'm glad. I'm glad that you're here because I think that Paul has something for you. Paul has something for us that helps us get ready for and stay at and come back to the table, no matter what has taken place. Maybe your Thanksgiving was actually great, and you're not really sure why we keep talking about the maybe not so comfortable moments of family holidays. And that's okay. We're still glad you're here if your Thanksgiving was perfect. But one day, you'll have a messy day with your family, and we want you to know that you don't have to be perfect to be here. We want you to know that families don't have to be perfect to be here. So we're going to talk about what it's like when things go wrong sometimes, so that when you show up, you know that you can be here. There's a whole bunch of people here just like you, trying to do their best and not always getting it right. Paul wasn't writing to a group of Christians about a specific issue or an instance in one of these communities. He wasn't problem-solving something that had happened. He's just talking about people and what people can be like. He knew one day this group of Christians in Rome was going to have some kind of issue in their community with each other or in their relationships with people outside their community. Paul knew people. He knew what relationships could be like. He knew that community can come together and fall apart just as easily. Knowing that, Paul's encouragement to the church in Rome and for us today is to have grace be at the center of our relationships. Show grace when people disagree with you. Show grace by showing up for people in good times and in hard times. Show grace by not needing to be right all the time. Show grace by not having the last word. Show grace by supporting good things we can all agree on. Show grace by submitting to God's greater peace. When Paul talks about grace, it's not from some far-off academic theoretical place. When Paul talks about grace, it's personal. Remember, Paul was persecuting the church, and then he had a personal encounter with Jesus, and his whole life changed. Paul went from enemy to evangelist and made it his life mission that people might know the life-changing grace we have because of Jesus. When Paul talks about grace, it's not an idea, it is personal. It has changed his life. Paul writes to Timothy saying, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. Could you imagine saying that to somebody? Could you imagine owning up to that in front of anyone, let alone even admitting it to yourself? No. You wouldn't, and neither would I, because if we're honest, our internal monologue goes a lot more like, wow, my brother really needs to check his sin. And God, my cousin really needs your grace. If only they were more like us. And on and on and on, right? You don't have to admit that to yourself right now, but you and Jesus know. You and Jesus know that this is how we think about people, right? If only they were more like us. It's true at our tables, it's true in our offices, it's true even in our church. For some reason, everybody else's brokenness seems so obvious, and ours seems very hidden to ourselves. What if the first step to coming back to the table meant all of us admitting we need Jesus just as much as everybody else? What if before we ever looked at somebody else with judgment or criticism, we thought about our own brokenness and how much grace we need? I was at a conference a couple weeks ago, and the speaker said from the stage, what would our churches look like if we, people in the church, acted like we need Jesus just as much as everybody else outside the church? He said, come on, we always say come as you are. We say come as you are. But if we're honest, we really mean that for first-time visitors. And then we expect you to start acting and thinking and believing and behaving just like us. What would our churches look like if we, people inside the church, acted like we need Jesus just as much as everybody else outside the church? Are there spaces in your life? Your parents' dinner table? Your sister's house, the cafeteria at work or at school, where you know not all of you is welcome? what would it feel like for a day if all past misunderstandings and mistakes and hurt was suspended? What would it feel like for a day if you could just be you? That's grace. That's what our relationships would look like if grace was at the center of everything we did. What if our relationships could look less like these worldly lenses clouded by cynicism and judgment and hopelessness and looked more like the fullness of mercy and grace we have because of Jesus? What would your Thanksgiving dinner have looked like? Before any of us could get our acts together, we were offered grace we didn't deserve. When you were still a workaholic, God offered you grace. When your son was on a path of destruction, God offered him grace. When your parents struggled to show how much they loved you, God offered them grace. When she was still looking for love in all the wrong places, God offered her grace. When he said that hurtful thing, God offered him grace. If our God, who offered us everything and still gets rejected, can show up, can come back to the table still with more grace to give, do you think you and I can muster up a little more grace for the people at our tables? When we choose to see people the way Jesus does, coming back to the table isn't that hard after all. The experience of coming back to the table might still be hard. There might be some extra deep breaths taken there and some awkward silence there and that comment that shouldn't have been said there. But the choice to come back to the table versus staying away, that choice isn't that hard when we live out of grace. Here's why this is so important. Verse 17 in the New Living Translation of this same passage in Romans reads this: do things in such a way that everyone will see you as honorable. Everyone. Paul wasn't focused on relationships inside the Christian community anymore, but how Christians related to other people. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you as honorable. Non-Christians, non-religious, people from a different tradition and no tradition at all. What if they looked at your life, the way you were living, and knew it was worth something? I have a lot of friends who don't go to church. I have a lot of friends who doubt whether God is real. I can't answer all their questions, and I can't explain away their life experience. But what I can do is keep showing up and showing grace. My prayer is that maybe what they end up knowing about me, and maybe one day what they know about my God, is that grace is real. How do we keep coming back to the table? We choose to let grace call the shots, and we fall in line. We let grace have the last word. Now, before I close, I want to make sure that Romans chapter 12, verses 18 gets seared into our memory. If I could, like, temporary tattoo all of you on the way out, I would. This is what Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. If it is possible. God knows, and Paul knew, and we understand that there are places in your life that it is not in your best interest to go back to. Trauma is real, and hurt is real, and going back to those places is not God's best for you. If it is possible, God will give you the strength to go back to the table. And if it's not, God is preparing a place for you at another table. And I know this to be true, and I know this to be true here, because there are tables of yours where you have made space for somebody with a life story just like that. And God's grace is a part of all of it. if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, on me. We can't change people, but we can change how we treat them. If you're already nervous about going back to that space, to that table, to those people, and you're worried about what they might do or they might say, maybe instead focus on how you can be the embodiment of grace in that room, that you can be Jesus' grace to them. I wonder what your time at the table would look like if you did. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live in peace with everybody. We're not going to get it right all the time, and neither will our loved ones. We're not perfect, but God's grace is. I bet if we live out of grace, we will find ourselves coming back to the table every time. Let's pray. God, we thank you that your infinite wisdom chose to be a God that is for us and not against us. We pray that you would let the grace that you have for us infect our whole lives so that we can share grace with everyone we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.